Hello, this is John speaking.
I'm George Harrison.
Hello, this is Paul McCartney.
Hello, this is Ringo Starr.
Here they are, the Beatles!
It's time for an hour in the life of the Fab Four as we roll up for a magical history tour and come together to meet the Beatles deep inside the music of John, Paul, George, and Ringo. So turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream for the next hour as KSQD presents The Beatles Fan Club.
Greetings, cats and kittens, foxes and coyotes. This is Eric Nelson introducing you to the inaugural version of the Beatles Fan Club, an hour every week when we geek out on the Fab Four with three Beatlemaniacs, Gary Shapiro, Michael Bryant, and again, yours truly, Eric Nelson, guiding you through the highways and byways and music of the great Beatles. So stay tuned for a special John Lennon hour on the Beatles Fan Club.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Hold on.
I was on.
Now, I'm just going to raise this so as it's nearer the bass strings than the top string. Paul's broken at last, he's broke today. Okay. Oh, you ready, Macca? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. How can I even try? I can never win. Hearing them, seeing them in the state I'm in. How could she say to me, love will find a way? Gather round, all you clowns, let me hear you say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away.
John Lennon doing his level best to channel Bob Dylan. Early take, Got to Hide Your Love Away from Help, take 5, for those of you keeping score at home. And if you're tuning into a show called The Beatles Fan Club, the odds are you might be keeping score at home. And this show is going out to Beatle maniacs, Beatle fans, and casual listeners. I'm going to try to add some context to the Beatles. They just sort of exist, the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll. Inescapable for so many great reasons. But I'm going to try to just unpack some things you might not know about the Beatles, or dial you in to listen closer to some things that is laying right there in the music waiting to be discovered. Why don't we start off with just the idea of John Lennon and his Beatles. John Lennon certainly wasn't the leader of the Beatles, though a lot of people thought that he was at various points in time. But John certainly was a powerful individual, and also just a great, besides being a genius, a great singer. So we're going to, as we play through this, just keep an eye on just how great a singer John is. And we're going to start with an unusual song to make the case for John Lennon as a singer. It's from the Please Please Me, right off the bat. And interesting cover. Gotta love when John Lennon essays a song by Burt Bacharach. But there you go. But just listen again how great he sings.
It's not the way you smile that touched my heart. Sha-la-la-la-la. It's not the way you kiss that tears me apart. Oh, many, many, many nights go by. I sit alone at home and I cry over you. What can I do? Cause baby, it's you.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Baby, it's you.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. Sha-la-la-la-la.
You should hear what they say about you. Cheat, cheat.
Sha-la-la-la-la.
They say you've never, 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 ever been true.
Cheat, cheat.
Oh, it doesn't matter what they say. I know I'm gonna love you any old way. What can I do? And it's true. Oh, no more, nobody, nobody. Cause baby, it's you.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Baby, it's you. Say, I know I'm gonna love you any old way. What can I do when it's true? I don't want nobody, nobody. Cause baby, it's you.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Baby, it's you.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Don't leave me all alone.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Come on home.
All those nights in Hamburg paid off there. Great song, and again, something they worked up from the clubs, and shows the range of John's vocals. Easy to remember the later days of John, you know, the zoinked out on heroin Let It Be days, the Yoko bringing the bed into the studio and the recording Abbey Road days, to forget how instrumental in so many key ways he was and how prodigious an output he was. And I'm going to go to A Hard Day's Night, which in a lot of ways is almost a John Lennon solo album, because most of the songs on that record were written by John. It's probably the only time in Paul McCartney's career he had like a three-week writer's block, and they needed a soundtrack album stat. So it was John Lennon who came up. Hard Day's Night, John Lennon song based on a Ringo-ism. If I Fell, John Lennon. And this song. But this is all, again, John carrying the weight of the Beatles in all respects, with, of course, the other musicians backing him up so, so capably. This is the Beatles Fan Club. I'm Eric Nelson, the inaugural episode on KSQD.
Never real.
And who can forget John Lennon sniffing the Coke bottle in A Hard Day's Night? Still one of the perfect movie. Pretty tough to beat that particular movie. So as we move forward, Beatles for Sale, and this is when John was embarking on the period of life that he referred to as his Fat Elvis period, where he was sort of losing his mojo and feeling dissatisfied. Only John Lennon could be at the cusp of Beatlemania and feeling adrift and writing a song like this adrift. And this is recorded live at the BBC. So this is how good they were. Live at the BBC wasn't live at the BBC's, but the four lads would get in, go over to the BBC and knock off the songs live in the studio, and then later they would play them. So this is how good they sounded on their own with John. Well, basically, it's a cry for help. It's the cry for help that isn't actually the song, Help.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won or have lost, there is one love I should never have crossed. She was a girl in a million, my friend. I should have known she would win in the end. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I she's mine, you know, she tells me all the time, you know, she says so.
you know she said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. She's in love with me and I feel fine.
There's great debate among Beatle maniacs and music nerds in general. Was I Feel Fine the first recorded example of feedback? I think Roger McGuinn of The Byrds said he got it first, but John Lennon's experimental ear certainly snagged it for I Feel Fine. If that sounded a little different to you, well, it should. That was the 2023 mix, and one consistent thing you're going to hear in any Beatles song is what a great drummer Ringo Starr is. Always right there. Just always a great drummer. Always, always, always. And before that, I'm a Loser, Lennon's early Fat Elvis period that culminated in Help when he was definitely way into his Fat Elvis period. They're putting out, obviously, a lot of Beatles product. They put out the anthology, Volume 4. They have 6 hours of extended stuff on Disney, et cetera, et cetera. Not a lot of revelations there. And what I've noticed is pretty much always the best versions are what's on the album. Dylan is quite different. Often Bob perversely would deliberately pick the bad versions to put on the album or leave the songs off entirely just, well, because he's Bob Dylan. But Beatles always kind of went for the gold. But one revelation on the Revolver Super Deluxe Edition, the Super Duper one, was this little table scrap, because hitherto and previously, every Beatlemaniac assumed that this song had been written by Paul McCartney. It's got McCartney all over the song. It doesn't sound like a John Lennon song. It doesn't have John Lennon's mordant spirit about it. But listen to this early take. This is a sketch of a song that then would be fully and completely Beatleized.
In the place where I was born, no one cared, no one cared. And the name when I was gone, no one cared, no one cared. And the town where I was born, no one cared, no one cared. If you whine and you go wrong, no one cared, no one cared. In the town where I come from, no one cared, no one cared.
Well, Paul, any ideas what I might do with that particular song? So John's major contribution to that was the goon-like sound effects. And in the John Lennon mix, let's just say the sound effects are cranked way up. This next song is, again, pretty much a solo John Lennon song about his regrets. This is, again, at the tail end of his Fat Elvis period, but let's just say he was playing around and not entirely faithful to his wife, Cynthia. So this was a song he wrote about sort of the morning after. And this is, again, an early take. This may even be take one.
I once had a girl, or should I say, she once had me. She showed me her room, isn't it good, Norwegian wood. She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. I sat on the rug, drinking her wine, biding my time. We talked until two, and then she said, it's time for bed. She
She told me she worked in the morning and started to laugh. I told her I didn't and crawled off to sleep in the bath.
And when I awoke, I was alone. This bird had flown. So I lit a fire. Isn't it good? Norwegian wood.
Thank you, George, for that. And a few months later, in a recording studio in Nashville, another genius is playing around. Let's just say, I think he might have heard the song Norwegian Wood. I'll play a little scrap of this.
When she said, don't waste your words, they're just lies, I cried, she was deaf. And she worked on my face until breaking my eyes and saying, what else you got left? It was then that I got up to leave, but she said, don't forget.
Now, being that this is a Beatles show, we will steer clear of Bob Dylan, but if you're a Dylan fan, stick around on January 24th. Sean Willance, who wrote the album notes to the latest Dylan bootleg series, Through the Open Window, will be joining me for a three-hour deep dive into that particular box set. But as I say, we're not doing a Dylan show right now. So speaking of demos, you can hear this song. This is what John came into the studio with, and then we'll play what he came out of the studio with on the Beatles Fan Club, KSQD. This is Eric Nelson, and this is John Lennon and his Beatles.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
I know what it is to be sad, and it's making me feel like I've never been born. I said, put all that crap in your head. I know what it is to be mad, like my trousers are torn. She said, I will love you more today. I said, no, 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 it's wrong. Now it's wrong. Thank you.
'cause you're making me feel like I've never been born. She said, you don't understand what I said. I said, no, 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 you're wrong. When I was a boy, everything was right. Everything was right, I said. Even though you know what you know, I know that I'm ready to leave. 'Cause you're making me feel like I've never been born.
KSQD thanks Good Times for supporting this program. Good Times provides local news and entertainment information every Wednesday. Available online at goodtimes.sc and in print at locations throughout Santa Cruz County. Thank you, Good Times, for supporting community radio, KSQD.
It should actually be called He Said, I Know What It's Like to Be Dead. The he in question is Peter Fonda, who was a Hollywood Hills Party, I think 1965, when, let's just say, LSD was done, and Peter Fonda freaked Lennon out by describing a trip, a bad trip, and said, I knew what it was like to be dead. And John Lennon, never missing a trick, kept that in the back of his mind, and out it came with She Said, She Said. Now, speaking of Ringo's drumming, this allegedly is the song that Ringo Starr says is the best drumming he ever did with the Beatles, and whether or not it is the best drumming that Ringo ever did, but, you know, Ringo has an opinion on the matter and should know something about it. It is extraordinary drumming, and when you think that this wasn't on Revolver, right, because this is the days when the singles were the singles and the albums were the albums and never the twain shall meet. So this was the flip side. Imagine, this is the flip side of the paperback writer single.
The rain comes when the sun.
And not only Ringo Starr's great drumming, how about that bass, Paul McCartney's Hofner bass, just absolutely brilliant on that track. So we're going on to, we mentioned that was the single, the Paperback Writer Rain, which was not included on the album Revolver. Well, the last album they did that to was Sgt. Pepper's, and George Martin said it was a huge, huge mistake that this single was not put, the two songs on this single were not on the Sgt. Pepper's album, and I tend to agree with George Martin. But interesting thing about this song, speaking of George Martin, so Lennon wrote this song when he was on the set of How I Won the War, the Richard Lester film, the guy who directed, he had for it Hard Day's Night and Help, and he wrote this song and sketched it out, and it took a lot of studio time, so they came up with a version, take 7, that John really loved, and take 26 that he really loved. And John asked George Martin, I like both of these, put them together. And long-suffering George Martin pointed out, but they're in different keys. That's going to be impossible. And John, being John, just said, well, you'll figure out something. So they did. They sped it up and spliced the two together to get the keys together. So when you listen to this, and this is the mono version of this, set your stopwatch when it starts. The splice is at 1 minute in, exactly 1 minute into this song. When John sings the word going to, that's when the splice happens. And they covered their tracks pretty well, but now that I've blown the secret. So when you hear this start, start the second hand on your watch. If you're driving, you can't do any of this. You'll have to listen to the repeat. By the way, this is the Beatles Fan Club with Eric Nelson on KSQD, the inaugural edition, in case you're just tuning in and wondering what the hay is going on here. But anyway, 1 minute into this original mono mix of this particular classic.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever. Living is easy with eyes closed. Standing all you see, it's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me. Let me take you down. Strawberry fields forever. Strawberry fields.
Hey, Tom Harbin here. You know how I always say democracy is not a spectator sport? Well, Jill Cote knows the rules of the game, and she delivers it to you straight on Be Bold America, Friday at 5 p.m. right here on KSQD. Jill brings in the best political thinkers of our time who will show you what to keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to support democracy in our world. That's Be Bold America, Friday at 5 p.m. right after the Tom Harbin program, right here on K-Squid, 89.5, 89.7, and 90.7 FM and KSQD.org. Tag, you're it.
I distinctly heard John Lennon say, "I buried Paul." So that's ergo ipso facto proof that Paul McCartney did in fact die in 1969. And he's barefoot too on the Abbey Road cover. Did you notice that all the other Beatles have shoes? And then there's a license plate that says 28 if in that picture. I'm just saying. A lot of other conspiracies out there. That's still one of the best. So Strawberry Fields, including that subliminal music edit. And if you listen for it, you absolutely can hear it 1 minute in. So sorry, George Martin and John, we've revealed your secret. Jeff Emmerich was also involved. I think he's still with us. So one of the surviving members of the cabal, speaking of conspiracies. So let's move on now to Sgt. Pepper's. Just think, though, what song could you drop off of Sgt. Pepper so you could squeeze Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane? I would say maybe Lovely Rita could go, maybe. Maybe one of the George Harrison songs, though. You got to have the George songs. I don't know, but it's a tough call, but those two songs should have been on that record. So this is an early take of this song, the song that John Lennon, who is the star of this particular edition of the Beatles fan club, John Lennon and his Beatles would be the subliminal theme here, claims that has nothing to do with acid, nothing to do with drugs. It came in with a drawing with a title, and he nicked the title. I still don't buy it, but you know, John, he's the guy who can pick up a he said, she said from Peter Fonda and turn it into a song. So who knows the truth? As they say, print the legend.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes and she's gone. Eat marshmallow pie. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you away. Climb in the back and you're gone. Train in a station with plasticine porters with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile, the girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Sky with
LSD, well, whatever. Print the legend, as I said. Now, fly on the wall moments. You know, where would you like to be in history? Where would you like to be in music history? I can think of some places. You know, I'd love to be in some of the early Bob Dylan session when he cooked up Like a Rolling Stone, Take Four, which was the classic, and then didn't realize he'd captured lightning in a bottle and did like four more takes. I'd have been around that day. Basement tapes with Bob Dylan. But how about the Escher session? So the Beatles come back from India, from hanging out with the Maharishi, with a batch of new songs, and I think inspired by the basement tapes, because that was circulating at the time. They all get together at George Harrison's mansion and run through all the songs on the Beatles' White Album. Not all of them, but most of them, and then do some songs that never appeared on the White Album, some of which would come out a good deal later. But this is from the Escher sessions. This is when if people say the Beatles were falling apart during the White Album, maybe, but not on this sunny afternoon. I envision this as a sunny afternoon. Somebody's running the tape recorder and they're knocking take after take off of the songs that will emerge as the White Album.
Wait for it. Okay.
About destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Well, don't you know it's gonna be alright? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? You say you got a real solution. Well, all I can tell you, brother, you'll have to wait. But don't you know it's gonna be all right? Don't you know it's gonna be all right? Don't you know it's gonna be all right?
All right, don't you know it's gonna be 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 all right.
Oh, to be a fly on that particular wall. Revolution from the Escher demos. Acoustic demos for what would become the White Album, period. John and Paul did a very, very short-lived, I think four shows, playing British pubs, and they billed themselves as the Nerk Twins, N-E-R-K, the Nerk Twins. Well, 1969, when things were falling apart big time, the Nerk Twins reassembled in a studio to bang out a song that John had just written, again, ripped right out of the front pages of John's life. So in this particular song, you've got Paul on bass, of course, John on lead guitar, and on drums, wait for it, Paul McCartney. And people who say that Paul and John weren't getting along in the end days, well, whatever the relationship was, you try banging out a song like this in a couple of hours, this good and this enduring, even though it's relentlessly personal. So again, the Nerk Twins, ladies and gentlemen.
Standing in the dock at Southampton, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the Mac says, you've got to go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Finally made the plane into Paris, honeymooning down by the Seine. Peter Brown called to say, you can make it okay, you can get married.
First he said the Beatles were more popular than Jesus, and then he's talking about being crucified. Great song, though. The Nerk Twins, Paul McCartney on bass and drums, John on guitar, and a journalistic retelling of his wedding to Yoko, who thankfully is still with us. Well, that's about it for this edition of the first edition, actually. Not Kenny Rogers, but the first edition, inaugural edition of the Beatles Fan Club. Every week, a different Beatlemaniac is going to come and regale you with tales of the Beatles, but more importantly, music, every Friday at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow, by the way, if you haven't gotten heartily sick of me, but there'll be a lot more music and a lot less talk. Grateful Dead Zone. New Year's concerts. The Dead did 22 New Year's shows in their storied, 30-year run, 40-year run? How long were they around? 30-year run. And I'm going to play excerpts from 7 of the best ones to get this new year off to a start. It was a phrase that's being coined. We all have a lot of, we're addicted now to hopium, and I'm hoping that's a good dose of Grateful Dead, psychic energy, karma, and great music on New Year's will get us off to a bang tomorrow. That's at noon tomorrow. So I got to end this particular inaugural edition of the Beatles Fan Club with a song that Paul McCartney is on the record as saying is his favorite Beatles song. He says it's his favorite Beatles song. They started doing it during the Magical Mystery Tour, and then they returned to it during the final years or the final days or the final months, whatever. But they put this on the B-side. But it's a great song, and it all started with John Lennon coming in with a one-liner. And Paul McCartney said, you know, when John Lennon comes into the studio with this one-liner, you got to make a song out of it. So I'll leave you with this masterpiece, flip side masterpiece of as far, according to Paul McCartney, as far as the Beatles got. This is KSQD. I'm Eric Nelson. I'll see you in 3 weeks for another Beatles Fan Club, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Grateful Dead Zone. Oh,
the mad.